Welcome into Locked On Knicks, a very special episode today. I know I say that all the time, but this one was near and dear to my heart, Alex. I did an all-time NBA draft with literally right around my like seven or eight best friends in the world, some of my best friends from high school, my best friends from college. It was cool getting everyone together to talk. Really a lot of fun. And because I'm a weirdo, I said, you know what, let's not just do this draft for fun. Let's turn it into a podcast and have you come on to judge it along with the guys from Locked On Nets.
Yeah, just call me Jeffrey Ross because I am the roast master general, right, from pick one. I had a good time going over these rosters, though. I mean, it's always fun to debate context of modern NBA versus old school, how guys that, you know, came up in the 60s, 70s would fare in today's NBA, things of that nature. And we certainly got into tons of that in today's episode. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right in with that.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good! RJ brings the Knicks to the
ball. What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane, Knox fouls from behind, count it, and one to Trier. Trier drives down.
And very quickly before we get into the draft, I wanted to remind you guys today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. 16 amazing flavors, and the brilliance of Built Bar is on top of tasting great, it's actually pretty healthy. 20 grams of protein, not particularly high in calories at 170 for the peanut butter brownie bar. Only 3 grams of sugar, so you know you're getting something good and delicious. Most importantly to me, they're soft and easy to chew. I'm so tired of spending an hour and a half trying to swallow a brick of a protein bar. That is not an issue with Built Bar. And remember, all you have to do to get our offer is go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So without further ado, let's get into the show with the hosts of Locked On Nets. You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, and also Locked On Nets. That's right, a crossover episode for a very special occasion. We got bored in quarantine, and we decided to do an all-time NBA draft, maybe slightly inspired by The Last Dance, mostly inspired by having nothing to do for days on end. I participated, Marcus Barahal, Josh Bass, co-hosts of Locked On Nets, participated. Alex, I believe you were busy cooking dinner last night, but you're here to just roast all of our bad decisions.
Yeah, it's not going to take long. Spoiler alert. But yeah, I can't wait.
Shots at Tyler Prime, I think, on the first pick. Marcus, Josh, did you enjoy the draft yesterday?
I did.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, sure. I had a good time once we were able to get it started. It took a little while. We considered having our friend Joaquin's little brother participate. In the end, luckily we got Josh to join in. I think it was a cool exercise, especially because I had never done it with like this many people. We did it with 8 of us. We did a starting 5 and a 6 man. So we got to close to like 50 people, 50 players total drafted. So definitely a fun experience.
Yeah, just to clarify, because people will have no idea who these people are, understandably.
Sure.
First 3 picks, Tyler, John, Tonis, friends of mine from college. 4th pick was me, 5th pick Marcus, 6th pick Josh. Last 2 picks, Joaquin and Jeremy, friends of mine from high school. Alex, have you ever done anything like this before, just kind of messing around with friends? It's like, all right, all-time teams, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I just did 2 of these with Sports Illustrated, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow. It's a little higher than Tonis, I would say.
Yeah, no. Come on. Tonis is bad. Sports Illustrated just fired a bunch of people, and Tonis is living with his parents, so that's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah,
anyways.
It was just Knicks. Like, we did the Knicks one, and then we simmed it all out in 2K, and then we did a tank one where we tried to make the worst possible team, and I did better in that one. Clearly, I'm better at identifying bad talent than good talent. So
who's on your roster for the bad one?
I tried to go with all smalls, because in 2K it's like very much weighted towards bigs, where bigs can like dominate smaller players. But at the end, I was like one of the last picks, and like literally every guard that was like under an 80 was taken by somebody. So I started Bobby Portis at point guard, and then did like, in some order, I had like rookie Charlie Ward, Greg Anthony in like his second season or something. Alfred Payton and old ass Mike Bibby from 2011-12. And that was my starting lineup. And it was really bad. I made it all the way to the final. Then I lost.
No Moutier?
No, because he wasn't in the game as a Nick. Like, you had to do it based off the Nick rosters that are available. So it was like present day, 2011-12. What was the next one? 99, 94, 95, I think. The championship teams, or like one of the championship teams, and I think, oh, and like the all-time team, but like that only exists in theory because like nobody would pick from that because it was way too good.
People forget Mike Bibby in 2012 was a problem. He's throwing cues. He was really ripped at that point. He was great.
He was not throwing shoes. Dwayne Wade was throwing his shoes.
Oh, right. His shoes were right. Thrown. My bad. That's an important qualifier. All right. Without further ado, let's get right into this. And Alex, I think the irony of this first pick is Tyler's my friend whose voice sounds exactly like yours, and I think you're about to just tear into his pick.
Yeah, it was bad. He picked LeBron James. Wrong. I mean, I don't know how you could be sitting here watching The Last Dance over the last few weeks and be like, oh, LeBron definitely better pick than Michael Jordan. You pick freaking Michael Jordan, man. Like, don't overthink it. Sorry, like, Michael Jordan's better, period. I don't want to hear any arguments that LeBron is better or would be a better pick here. And it was a stupid pick.
I'm going to defend Tyler a little bit. Not to say that LeBron's better, but I think just the versatility he gives you by being bigger and by being able to play, like, 1 through 4, maybe even 5 if you're like trying to go really small. Jordan can't do that, so maybe like by taking LeBron first, you kind of have more options later in the draft. That's like the only reason.
If you have a team of all-time, if you have a team of all-time talent facing other all-time talent, who do you want?
Fair. That's fair, but I mean, like, a lot of this, because all the guys are so talented, comes down to fit, I think.
But who do you want taking the final shot?
Giannis.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Luckily he took him too. Spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. The only argument I'd make is like having someone who can hit threes, but Jordan could probably do that if he had to. Also,
He shot good percentages from threes a couple of years. You know?
Yeah. The years it's he like, took a lot of them. He hit it at a pretty good rate. With that being said, John sort of.
Really I didn't really know what we were doing with Era. Like, was it playing now or what? Because that was something that wasn't really clear throughout the whole thing. But actually post-draft, I'd like that clarity.
I assumed it was like modern day rules. That was my interpretation, Marcus. I just assumed by the way you drafted, taking your first four picks, all current players. You thought that too?
Yeah, I did. I mean, we'll get into it, but that wasn't like my plan going in. It just kind of, when my pick came up, those were the guys that I wound up taking. But yeah, I assumed it was like 2020 rules, I guess.
Gotcha. All right. John, I think we can speed by. MJ, obvious pick, only pick. I think, again, the value of having the top two picks in this draft can't be overstated, because I personally felt the big, big drop off after that. There's just no one really in that sort of God tier. And then Tonis grabbing Magic Johnson next. Did you guys think he was... He would have been your pick at three, because I had both the next two guys who went were the next two on my board.
I think three was probably the toughest spot to pick, just because, like you said, those top two were so clear. And then I think the next like several picks, really, like, you can make a case for a bunch of different guys. I think Magic, obviously, like, best point guard of all time, and also like the size he brings to the position is really unique. And in a setting like this, where like the other team's point guards are going to be like Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, like a lot smaller guys, that could be a spot where you take advantage by having a bigger point guard and maybe like forcing mismatches.
I'm with that.
Yeah. I probably would have gone with a wing, just because I feel like there is a kind of a scarcity on that. And there's so many great point guards. And obviously I think Magic Johnson has a pretty solid case for the best point guard of all time, but the depth there is really good. So like the big man that are kind of throughout the draft, I probably would have gone with the wing, but I'm also a hypocrite because I took Tim Duncan and as my that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just finishing my bite of Built Bar real quick.
Oh, buy wow. Built Bars. What a natural lead-in.
Buy Built Bars. BuiltBar.com, promo code locked on. Get your Built Bars today. $10 off. Anyway, I think the Magic pick is somewhat defensible, although I probably would have gone Bird. But, like, I think it's probably between those two. But Magic, like, the one thing that you can say is he was so positionally versatile, even though he's technically a point guard. I mean, he did, like, in the finals start at center for the Lakers in, like, an era where the center was a much more physical and, you know, imposing position. He did manage to do that, like, back in the early 80s. So I think there is something to be said for this pick, like, and not just, like, most of the other point guards that would be on here, I feel like, are definitely pigeonholed into being point guards. Like, they're not combo guards or, you know, guys that can really, depending on if you, like, if you call LeBron a point guard or if you call, like, Giannis a point guard or whatever based off how he plays sometimes, but I don't think anybody would. They're just kind of point forwards. Magic Johnson, I think, is unique in the fact that, you know, maybe in today's game even, he would be considered a quote-unquote point forward, you know, and you might have some more traditional guards out there with him, even if he was doing most of the ball handling. But just based off the era, you know, it made more sense to, even though he was so big, to play him at point guard anyway, just because that's kind of more what the times dictated back then. But, you know, I do think there's something to be said for, like, he might be positionally versatile enough to, you know, justify this as more than just, like, picking a point guard in a stacked point guard field, as far as all this goes.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a lot of different combinations. And I think it's interesting to think, like, in one of these games, would he be bullying and posting up the other team's point guard, or would floor spacing dictate that that wasn't really an option? And if you surround him with enough shooters, and Tonis, a spoiler, went on to take Dirk Nowitzki, Reggie Miller, Allen Iverson, it's interesting. There's some stuff you could do there. All right, I was actually up next. I took Larry Bird. I kind of panicked because I had on my board, I had Kevin Durant third and Larry Bird fourth, and they were both there. And I was going back and forth the 5 minutes of prep I did before the draft. And I thought my logic for Durant was, all right, this is one guy who's going to score regardless of who the defender is. Like, there's just never been an offensive player like him in NBA history, a player that big, that athletic, who can shoot like he does and get a shot off against essentially anyone. And my concern with Bird is probably sort of what the stereotypical concern of him was in the 80s. And he didn't really have to, like, deal with this a ton in the 80s. But just going up against the most athletic wings ever, can he be as efficient of a scorer as he was? I think generally, even though guys like Dennis Rodman and some of the defenders on the Lakers gave him a bit of trouble, he pretty much proved throughout his career to be matchup proof. And ultimately, his passing, I thought, was such a key to me, because as I kind of went through this, there are only so many, like, great multifaceted passers in NBA history, also really, really complete scorers. Like, that combination of being, like, a top five shooter all time and a top five passer all time. Like, is there another guy in league history you could say that about? So I just thought having him as an offensive fulcrum was more valuable than what he gives up defensively relative to someone like Durant. Thoughts?
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had the pick right after you. And I had Durant above Bird on my board just because of what you mentioned briefly about, like, defense and Durant's versatility. Like, even if he shouldn't have, he's played the two, you can play the three and the four, and, like, he's also 7 feet tall, so even if he's not, like, the center out there, he could still be, like, the tallest guy and be a reliable rim defender. And that's kind of what I said earlier, like, what I was looking for, at least in the first couple rounds, was, like, positional versatility, because, like we've said, like, all these players are obviously, like, incredibly great, but I wanted to, like, limit how pigeonholed I would be later in the draft.
Fair enough.
I mean, I like your pick personally. I would have gone Bird. I would have gone Bird over Durant, just because I think, I don't know, I mean, look at Bird's, like, career percentages and tell me that he couldn't get whatever he wants to, no matter what the era. You know what I mean? Like, he's a lights-out shooter from three. He's a lights-out shooter, period. He's big enough to, you know, get his shot off. And he's a fantastic passer and a great rebounder. Like, the one thing he's not going to give you that Durant potentially could is, like, that sort of rim-protecting ability. What, like, Durant showed in Golden State, where like if you want to play like a real small lineup, you can put him at the center. But like, given how this all-time draft is going to go, where like the old school mentality of having, you know, dominant like post big men goes, I don't think that you're going to run into a situation where you'd be able to play small ball really in this, especially since I have the rosters in front of me and like every single one of them has at least one traditional big man on it. So I think it's a pretty safe pick to go with Bird, who's, you know, who would be more than happy, I think, to settle into a distributor role if need be, and give you a, you know, a primary or secondary playmaker. And it, I won't spoil the rest of your roster, but like you've got a few of those on here. So, I think it's a good mix to have as many guys that can handle it and pass it, but also score as possible. And
yeah, that was sort of my thinking. Josh, what did you make of Marcus's pick? Were you hoping Durant fell to you, or were you pretty set on Duncan?
Durant really wasn't on my radar for a first round pick. You know, it's probably because I'm just inundated with KD content on such a daily basis that I wanted to diversify a little bit. But I don't know. I went with someone with championship experience and Duncan, and I wasn't sold on him by any means, but KD wasn't really someone when Marcus took him right before me that I was bummed out about.
All right. Why Duncan over the two guys who went after him in Kareem and Shaq? And I guess you could throw Kobe and Akeem in there too.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question, Gavin.
Thank you. That sounded genuine.
I think with Duncan, I think he straddles a really interesting line between more of an old school game and also new school. And he was able to adapt so well on kind of this later year. In his prime, though, just a phenomenal defensive player, someone who can really defend the rim, defend the post, which is going to be important against a lot of these older school centers that other people have taken, and can also defend pick and roll. Offensively, people, I think, underrate how good of a mid-range shooter he was. And also really, really slick interior passer. And you're going to see that I paired him with Kevin Garnett. So that's going to really make for an interesting combination in passing and make up for a bit of my lack of shooting. But I think he's just such a well-rounded player with really no weaknesses. And obviously, in terms of kind of being a stone-cold killer, he's kind of really can live up to that billing. Someone that I think can build around, and very excited to have Old Man Riverwalk on my team.
Alex, how did you feel about Kareem over Shaq and Akeem? Assuming, I guess Joaquin ended up with Kareem and Akeem, so it didn't really hurt him. But was he the first out of that group of bigs you would have taken?
I mean, did it not really hurt him? Like, how in the hell is a team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Hakeem Olajuwon going to work?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
I was stunned.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I mean, I guess going for the Twin Towers thing, but I would have taken Shaq and then, you know, probably would have tried to go for a wing with the next pick. I mean, his
Kawhi maybe.
Yeah, Kawhi or even just go, you know, go Curry, get some shooting, you know, get Shaq to man the middle and Curry to, you know, keep defenders out of the paint and all that. I don't know. I think Kareem is fine. I think Shaq, I'm assuming this exercise is like you get whatever player you pick at their very best, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shaq was better, period, then. I mean, Shaq was, like, ridiculous. I mean, he was so good at his peak. You know, like, a 30-point-per-game scoring center who literally could not be guarded because he was so strong. I mean, at his peak, he was, like, if you take away, like, the if you just talk from, like, a pure power perspective, like, he was, for his position, what, like, Zion Williamson is for, like, the combo forward now, you know, for the center position. Like, he was just he was so strong that, you know, that he was straight up unguardable. I mean, he would just start throwing his butt back in you and you would like fly backwards and it wasn't a foul because he was doing it legally. He was just that strong. So and plus he had, I mean, especially before his later years when he would just kind of show up and play himself into shape. He just had such athletic, you know, elite athleticism to go with all of it, too. So, yeah, I would have gone Shaq personally, like just because I think if you're talking about peak version, he's more dominant than Kareem ever was, who was just sort of like Kareem and sort of like Duncan to a degree were just sort of like the most fundamentally sound players for so long, you know, that they had like just this prolonged excellence. Whereas I think Shaq had a, you know, a higher peak, but lower valleys, basically.
I'm with that. Josh, what were you going to say?
I said it's some butt.
But first, just a reminder, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is awesome. They have some of the best tasting protein bars you could ever hope to have. If it wasn't clear by me eating one in the middle of this first segment, I actually tried the orange chocolate cream for the first time today, and it was pretty amazing. You know, it almost made me pass my turn because I wanted to take another bite, but I decided to, you know, do my part in the podcast and actually, you know, do my job and editorialize a little bit and all that. But orange chocolate cream, new favorite flavor of mine, and that is one of the nut-free flavors. I don't know if you guys are aware from all the times I talked about Built Bar, but they do offer 8 nut-free flavors and 8 flavors with nuts, and the nut-free ones are prepared in a facility that does not use any nuts at all. So you know, you can buy that confidently if you have nut allergies, which I know is a huge issue for a number of people. So that's something to keep in mind. The bars have 100% real chocolate on the outside, and the overall ingredient list is lacking in fillers or things that you need a periodic table to decipher, which is great. I love being able to read the ingredients and know what I'm looking at on anything that I eat, as you know, someone who tries to watch the intake of bad crap into his body. But speaking of good stuff that comes into your body from this, I mean, I'm going to read off the nutritional facts off the one I just had. Had only 110 calories compared to 15 grams of protein and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of fat. That is fantastic. Also gave me 6 grams of fiber. That's about what you can expect from more or less any Built Bar. You're going to be under 200 calories and anywhere from 15 to 20 grams of protein in each bar. And on top of it, they have a fantastic texture that is essentially like a, the best way I can describe it is either a thicker Three Musketeers or like 100 grand minus the Rice Krispies in the middle. So really awesome consistency, no fillers. It feels like you're eating a candy bar, but really you are eating something that is going to give you tons and tons of protein to help recover from your workouts. So if you are interested in Built Bars, go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you will get $10 off your first order. That is Built Bar, builtbar.com, and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. You can either order just one flavor, you can order a variety box where you pick your own flavors. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter. I will give you some flavor recommendations for your first box. So again, that is builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off today.
Oh, yep, that's good. Yeah, actually, I liked Jeremy's first two picks. I was surprised because not a Lakers guy, obviously, but Shaq Kobe proven combo. And my whole philosophy through all this was like, all right, just like get guys you would want in a winner take all game. And I know that sounds like obviously like intuitive and overly simplistic, but like I guess like I would sum it up as like just get like badasses, and like to a degree, like every single guy drafted is. But I kind of like the idea of Shaq and Kobe just being like, all right, you want us to win one game? Like they would genuinely have the confidence that, and again, you could maybe say that about all these guys, but I just think those two were sort of killers, like especially during that three-peat, and it's a pretty good combo.
Yeah, and Alex's point about like peak is a really good one, I think, because like if this is like a one-game setting, like Shaq's going to be motivated. He's not going to have to like play himself into shape. So this is like the ideal scenario for him. And honestly, he probably could have gone even higher than he did.
I thought about him with that was the third guy behind Bird and Durant that I was kind of looking at. All right, so we went over Joaquin a little bit inane, pairing Hakeem and Kareem probably just because their first names rhyme. Josh, I loved your second pick, getting Steph Curry. I think it's interesting in the sense that obviously relative to this stage, a little bit of a liability defensively, but you think about it like when you have the best players in the history of the sport, everyone's going to be scoring regardless. So maybe just go for the guy with the highest offensive ceiling. And out of everyone left on the board, I mean, I'd maybe make a small case for Wilt, but I would say he's probably your guy. And in terms of just clearing the floor for every single other player, obviously there's no one else in the draft you could have taken that could have benefited you more.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's just really transcendent in the way that he opens up the offense. And it was almost similar to the point that Alex was kind of making at the start in terms of having MJ over LeBron as the pick there, because we see it in the playoffs every year. Everything bogs down so much, and anyone that is a kind of that creme de la creme offensive player, like that is just inherently more valuable than anything else. So it's going to be the same thing here. Obviously, the level of competition is going to be so high, but it's still the same thing. You're going to have to compare players to kind of the median value that they all provide, and having someone who is just that phenomenal offensively and brings a skill set that we've never really seen before is going to be so much more valuable than taking a guy who is a really great wing player or maybe a big man, but also does have other peers. And Steph Curry, I think we can all say, doesn't really have that from an all-time perspective in terms of his skill set.
Yeah, just again, totally. I just don't think there's another player in the draft that benefits the other guys on his team as much. And like, and maybe, I mean, there's possibly a case like you could have argued for him being like the fourth, fifth, or sixth pick in this draft. And I get the counter would be that he's not a two-way guy, but I just think in what these games would hypothetically be, Curry is just a completely unique weapon. And there are very few guys like outside of like the LeBron Jordan tier you could say that about in this context. The next pick, Marcus, you took the guy I wanted in Kawhi Leonard. Was there strong consideration for anyone else, sir? Because I thought, again, just in terms of having an absolute two-way killer, like he was sort of the obvious pick there.
Yes, so he like fit my theme of versatility, having him and KD as my three and four kind of interchangeably. But I'm going to be honest, I wanted Hakeem with this pick, and I did not expect that someone would take two of the four centers. It was like I was timing it. I saw the turn. There were three people who would be drafting between my two picks. And I was like, okay, even if all three take centers, I'll have one left over. That was not the case. And I kind of pivoted to Kawhi, who I considered Pippen also here, who I think is like very similar to Kawhi, obviously, but Kawhi, I think, has more of an ability to get his own shot and is a better outside shooter than Pippen. Different eras, but we've seen it with Kawhi at least. So I went with him to go with Durant and kind of be just like two defensive menaces, two guys who can get their own shots. I would say my biggest weakness, especially at this point in the draft, is that I don't have a ton of like elite passing. But I think I would hopefully make up for it with defense and more shooting than probably any duo so far.
Fair. Yeah, that's a lineup of two guys that could have teamed up on the Knicks this year. Were they not cowards?
Damn.
they could have been teammates. Who knows? It's a good combo, though. I mean, you can't go wrong with, like, I do question a little bit looking at your overall draft, which we'll get to in a minute. Like, one of them is going to have to play the four. And that could be kind of dangerous in this particular field with so many dominant bigs. But, you know, as we alluded to, like, I think Durant could play, you know, he's played the five in the present day. I think he could easily play the four in this scenario. And they'd at least be switchy, you know, so that I like it. I mean, they're both definitely very talented offensive players, too.
Yeah, and also, like, we'll get into it. But, like, a lot of the fours that wound up being taken are kind of, like, unicorny types. Like, there's not a lot of traditional like back you down power forwards that were taken outside of like the Kareem Hakeem duo, which is a little bit different. There's like Dirk, it's different is the best I can say about it. Yeah. Dirk gets taken. Gavin, I think you'd probably have Bird as your four. Yeah. Tyler's team would have like Giannis or LeBron, and I feel like KD can definitely match up with those guys, like those types of guys. Charles Barkley, like, I don't know. There's not a ton of like overwhelming strength, I would say, at the four for KD.
Yeah, you're lucky Karl Malone, noted pedophile, went undrafted, Marcus.
Oh boy.
He would have been sort of the weakness there. But
yeah, Kawhi, was that just on principle or on skills? Because
both. I think mostly principle.
Bearing him like last round.
I was too. I just felt like, I don't know, there's no situation where I envisioned myself playing, especially with the team that I had started with at the top two, because like if I'm playing him, he has to be my center, or I'm taking Durant or Kawhi off the floor. So for me, at least, there was no reason to take him.
Yeah, he's, I think, the guy who was hurt the most by, again, nominally playing a modern style of basketball, because there isn't really a fit for like a back down power forward. Like, I'd much rather just have Dirk bombing threes, at least in the context of this exercise. All right, so I went Wilt Chamberlain next pick, and I was a little torn on it because I just, every basketball book I read about him growing up was just like how like mentally weak he was and like what a ninny he was at points, and I was always focused on the wrong things. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like in some ways I'm getting a steal, because he was sort of the most dominant basketball player of all time, averaged 50 points per game for a season. I saw a stat recently that they only recorded blocks, like, I think his last three seasons, and it would have translated to 8 blocks a game when he was already past his athletic prime. The dude at 7'2", at points close to 300 pounds, ran a 4.5 40. Like, I think it gets underestimated how to the degree to which he might be one of the two or three greatest athletes to ever play the game, because people just unilaterally assume anyone who played in that era couldn't possibly translate today to the same degree that they did. And that's true. Like, I certainly don't think he averages 50 in the modern NBA, but the guy was just utterly dominant for a reason. So I feel like I'm sort of getting a discount Shaq one round later, maybe understandably given a little bit of the mental flaws, but I think given the makeup of the rest of my team, which I really, really like, it can sort of compensate for that a little bit. Let me tell you guys about my secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead. And I am desperate for both of those because I am generally way behind. It's hard to find time to sit down to read and learn more. I mean, even in quarantine, I found, like, my attention span is so zapped from years and years of social media. It's really difficult for me to read a book. I go 20 pages and I'm like, all right, let me watch some Netflix. So when you don't have the great attention span, or maybe you're still working your ass off and you don't have a ton of free time, there's an incredible app that solves the problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is quite unique in the fact that it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading a lot of books. There's a reason for that. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get to the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that info right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now and has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as classic nonfiction titles you were always meant to read but never quite had time to. Quarantine's the time to get that done, by the way. I like Blinkist because I can use it. I know I noted this, but for me it's been really crucial. Just like while I'm working out or walking my dog, I normally feel like those periods are, I mean, obviously working out is kind of inherently productive, but I'm not really like gaining anything mentally. And there are all these windows of the day, maybe like when I'm cooking dinner, where I'm just like, all right, this is just sort of lost time when I could be learning. And Blinkist totally flips that on its head. I think the next book I'm going to read is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. I've long avoided those self-help books because I didn't know which one to pick. But Blinkist, they have a popular book section, and they can sort of point you in the direction of which ones are worth taking in. Remember, with Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA. Try it free for 7 days and 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually got into like a Slack argument with former Locked On Knicks host James Marcita and Schwinnipu earlier today. We were talking about Wilt, and it was like it went sort of the same way. Like I'm of the belief that like if he gave a crap, like nobody's competing with him, even in the modern day. I mean, look at footage, what footage there is of him in like his youth. There's this like clip of him where he starts in like the restricted area on one end, and he gets sort of a late start and beats every single person down the floor in like six strides. Like he was a track athlete before, you know, committing full time to basketball. He was going to box Muhammad Ali at one point, which is ridiculous. And, like, people actually thought that he could potentially win. He apparently used to, like, lift weights with Arnold Schwarzenegger and keep up. Like, he could put up, like, 500 on the bar, apparently. It's insane. I mean, just, like, the physical prowess of him. So, like, all it would take is getting the right fire lit under him. And he's, I think even today it would still be, like, he would be, like, I don't even know who to compare him to, like, currently. Like,
rich man's Embiid a little bit.
Like, yeah, I guess like Embiid, but 1,000 times more physically imposing, as crazy as that is to say. Like, just because he would be so much faster and I think so much stronger, a little bit bigger, and just, I mean, when motivated, you know, as you said, could average 50 points a game, which you could talk about level of competition all you want, or like the lack of teams in 1961-62, but he still averaged literally 20 points per game more than the next best person in the league that year, which no matter what era you're talking about is just insane. He just, you know, to your point, Gavin, he's kind of just make sure you're not in the game against Bill Russell, who apparently like wined and dined him.
that is my first round matchup is against Bill Russell. So that,
I mean, that's tough, but hopefully everybody else can carry him a little bit just in that game. The rest of the games will be fine, but he always apparently felt bad beating up on his best buddy, Bill Russell. So,
Gavin, that matchup that you have also is, it's Bird Magic too. It's like you have Bird and Wilt.
And Wade Dirk. Wade Dirk is also a rivalry.
Yeah, that's
There's a lot of layers there. It's like we planned it out. Clay, Reggie Miller obviously hate each other.
Sure.
Josh, what were you going to say, Josh?
You and Tonis.
Yeah, me and Tonis, natural rivals. Yeah, across the board. All right, so Tonis takes Bill Russell next, which I didn't really know what to – I'm always confused, like, how I feel about Bill, because obviously the greatest winner in the history of the sport, I think all time, like, 21-0 in game sevens, I want to say, or like maybe it was conference finals, elimination games. It was something along those lines. But you're just the greatest winner in the history of the sport. But then you also ask, all right, like, how does this 6'9 guy who couldn't shoot translate to, again, the highest, theoretically, the highest level of modern basketball?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Bill Russell was plenty good. I think he's a great defender. So as long as he's not, I mean, there's something to be said for maybe drafting some guys that are more designed just to defend in this sort of setting, because ultimately there's only so many shots and that sort of stuff. So in that respect, I think it's probably a pretty decent pick. And maybe that's something to be said for your Wilt pick as well, that even if he wasn't doing so great on offense, as long as he could contribute on defense and rebounding the ball, you know, that might be all you need him to do, given the huge amount of talent available in this whole pool. But yeah, I mean, I just don't know about it as a second round pick. I might have let him go till the next round, but then like I look at who was on the board and I'm like, I don't know for sure who I would have taken over him. It's just like a sticky spot, but I think it's a defensible pick for sure.
I'm with that. Marcus, Josh, were you guys with John grabbing Pippen over Giannis? Because I thought that was a pretty interesting one, too, because obviously you know how Pippen Jordan works. We've gotten that affirmed weekend after weekend. Maybe the all-time greatest duo in basketball history, but do you like that versus maybe going for that fit over going for a pure talent play and taking someone who in a vacuum is a little bit better?
I liked the Pippen pick. I mean, it is similar to what we said earlier about the having Shaq and Kobe together. I think there's definitely something to be said for, like, you've seen these two guys play well together and play at the highest level together in both of their primes. So I was definitely not mad at the Pippen pick. Like I said, I considered him when I went with Kawhi. So I thought this was a good pick.
Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I think you can't really go wrong with putting MJ and Pippen together. I think I would have gone for something with a little bit more upside, like a Giannis. And even then, it's not a perfect fit there just because you have two guys that kind of need the ball in their hands. A lot of these guys do. And you also could probably complement someone with a little bit more shooting next to Jordan. But I think I would have tried to swing for the fences a bit more, but I don't hate it for the sentimental value.
All right, I think Tyler nailed it with I go back and forth on Irving. Like, I think that might even be like a little bit overkill given his first two picks, but pairing LeBron and Giannis is pretty crazy. I mean, right off the bat, that's the best transition team you're going to have, bar none, which is crazy that saying that right after Jordan and Pippen go. But I mean, just those two sort of like ball hawking on the perimeter and getting out and running, like, especially if you're saying prime LeBron, I don't know what year you'd pick. I mean, you could argue in some ways offensively he's peaking right now, but if you take LeBron from 2013, where he still had that apex athleticism in Giannis, like, I don't know what you really do against that.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of Giannis. I don't know.
I mean, I will say this much about his team through the turn here of LeBron, Giannis, and Dr. J. Actually, I'm just going to pull up the stats on Dr. J so I don't look like a total jack off here, but you're looking at a pretty subpar 3-point shooting team. Yeah. So if we're talking about playing this in 2020, I'd be a little worried about that. I mean, you got a ton of like, Gavin, to your point, you have a great transition team. And, like, Irving, yeah, like, you know, he's going to give you much of the same of that crazy athleticism. This team will give you the most fun dunks of any team, I think. But and maybe some great alley-oops and stuff. But I worry about the shooting, and I don't – it doesn't really get any better with his last three picks either. So you'd have to get pretty creative, I think, to make this work if you're doing it by present-day rules.
All right, guys, that's it for this edition of the pod. Final four rounds. Some interesting picks, some hot debates over the course of that. We'll be on the next episode. We also all pick coaches, and we wrap it up by each picking who our favorite team was. There was some consensus at the top, a little bit of a twist when Josh picked his favorite team, went a direction that I was kind of surprised by. But we will get into that next time around. Remember to check out the boys from Locked On Nets. I'm sure you got it from today's episode, but those two, for one, two of my three or four best friends in the entire world. But on top of that, really, really know their hoops, really entertaining. I know most people will be like LOL Nets who are listening to this, but they also like to LOL at the Nets. So you can do it with them over at Locked On Nets. Marcus Barahal and Josh Bass on Twitter if you want to just throw them a follow. Two great guests. I love collabing with those two, and we had a heck of a lot of fun on both this part and that part, so be sure to check it out. Until then, be good, enjoy your weekend, and peace out.